You're listening to the Whale Scout Podcast with your host, Whitney Neggebauer.
Welcome to the Whale Scout Podcast, everyone. My name is Whitney, and today is June 6th, 2014. Today, it's just me. No guest on the show today, but there's tons of exciting news, and I have a video clip, or I guess since it's radio, audio clip of a whale vocalizing above water. And it was really cool. I watched this in person at the Limekiln Lighthouse, and I was like, gosh, what is that? And I'm looking around at other people, and they're kind of looking at me, and some people are noticing, other people aren't. And so anyway, when I came home and I saw that there was video of it, and that video captured what I heard, I had to posted on Facebook and ask around, and luckily killer whale expert David Bain, who's been on this show before, so check that out, he was able to confirm that noise was whale babble. So that will be later in the show. First, I want to give an update on our May 10th Whale Scout Helping Out Day. Last week on the show, I was like, yeah, I don't know. We did a bunch of mulch and we spread a bunch of plants. And I promised that I would give better numbers on that. And so the update is that about 30 people, all Whale Scout volunteer, what should I call? They're not really volunteers, or just people really excited about doing good in their local community for whales. And they spread 20 cubic yards of mulch and planted 200 plants. So that is awesome. And thank you guys so much for helping out. And look for our next Whale Scout Helping Out Day sometime in September. So enjoy your summer and get ready for that. As a director of Whale Scout, I'm always trying to learn as much as I can about whales and do whatever I can to protect them and serve the people who also are protecting them and studying them and monitoring them. So this summer, I made plans to go up to the San Juan Islands and help with a couple of projects up there. The first is with Bob Otis. He's from Ripon College in Wisconsin. This is his 25th year going out to the Limekiln Lighthouse on the west side of San Juan Island and studying the whales that pass by the lighthouse. He's turned the research or the lighthouse into a research center, and you can go, and also people are open. He keeps it open to the public to visit, and he keeps a really, really cool calendar in there, and you can see how many days so far in his study period the whales have come by. He also keeps really interesting and kind of funny statistics on the number of visitors and the number of dogs that have visited the park, and you can compare those numbers to what went on last year. So I set myself up there to volunteer with him and also volunteer on the Soundwatch boat, which is a boat from the Whale Museum that goes out and they monitor the vessels that are around the whales. And they also go out and give educational pamphlets about the laws around boating with whales to boaters as they sort of approach the scene. And this year there will be enforcement on the water. So it's important to sort of get out to those boaters and make sure that no one gets a ticket because they will be writing tickets. And so Soundwatch, they try to get out there and give that information to boaters before anyone gets in trouble. So I will also be doing that starting in like July. But as I said, I've been working with Bob Otis at the Lighthouse, and every year he brings out a class from his school, about 8 or 9 students. And so I've been hanging out with them and learning with them. Bob will bring in some like guest speakers. And so these students have been hearing about all the whales that normally come by the lighthouse. And they've been waiting and waiting and waiting and hearing from experts that last year was not a very good year. And so they're waiting and they're seeing some transient killer whales. And then finally, last Saturday on the 31st, they got word that J-Pod was around. I actually was back home in Bothell, and I woke up like 7 in the morning, and I was going to go back to sleep, but I thought, oh, I'll just check my phone really quick. And turned on Facebook and people are posting, oh my God, J-Pod is back. We're hearing J-Pod on the hydrophone. At Limekiln Lighthouse, there's a hydrophone that's right in front of the lighthouse and you can listen, you can tune in, which you should all do like right now, the Salish Sea Hydrophone Network. There are two hydrophones on the west side of San Juan Island and one of them is right in front of the lighthouse. And people can tell the differences between the different pods, J, K, and L, by the sound of their calls. There are certain calls used by certain pods, and you can tell who is there, even though you're just listening at home from your computer. So J-Pod, I'm not going to make the noise, but they sound like donkeys. So if you hear something that sounds like donkeys, that's J-Pod. So that day, I zoomed up to the island with my husband, and we spent a few days there, and there were some awesome passbys over the next few days by J-Pod, and then a little bit later, the L12 subgroup, which is L12, that's a family group within L-Pod. They came in and joined up with them. That was really, really cool, and the students got to see them. I got some photos of the whales passing by. A few of them came within 100 yards of shore, and I have really cool photos up on whalescout.org. Of my new blog post, and it shows the killer whales passing by the students. And I shared those with them. It's their last week, and really happy that they were able to get the true Limekiln experience having whales pass really close to shore. You know, in fact, I tell this to people all the time that if you are watching whales from a boat, it is the law that you stay at least 200 yards away on either side and 400 yards in front or behind whales. And when you are at Limekiln Park and a few other places as well, the whales will pass by within 100 yards. So you can be closer to a whale on shore than you can be on a boat, which is really, really interesting because you're almost in your own environment and they're in their environment and it's quiet and it's peaceful. And at Limekiln Park, the boats are asked to stay half a mile offshore, and that is to provide an amazing whale watching experience to all the people who are on shore. So now we're waiting for the K-Pod, I guess, to come back to the San Juans. They had that really interesting little trip into Puget Sound in April, which we talked about on the show, 6 weeks ago with Brad Hansen. We had him on talking about why exactly they did that. And the rest of L-Pod, we're waiting for all of them to return to the San Juans. I always like to look at the Albion test fishery. You can look it up on your computer as well. They post every day or so the updated number of fish that they're catching. What they do is they put out a net and they capture fish. And you can get an idea of how many fish are returning to the Fraser River. You know, these are the fish that southern residents are going after. And so it's a good indication of, you know, why or maybe why not. People are, you know, sort of putting two and two together why whales may or may not be in the area. And just anecdotally, just because I'm having fun checking this every day and seeing about when the whales come through. You know, when they came in on Saturday, I was like, oh, gosh, like yesterday and the day before, there were zero salmon caught. Like, what's going on? Maybe there's nothing here. Maybe they'll leave. And then sure enough, you give them a couple days. And it's almost like a bit of a delay that you'll see a little spike in Chinook salmon. So, you know, I totally think that the whales know a lot more than we do about the salmon and where they are. And so I'm just hypothesizing from my own curiosity that maybe the whales are coming back and there are salmon maybe on the west side of San Juan Island. And it takes them a day or so to get all the way back up to the Fraser to then be caught in the test fishery. So instead of using the Albion test fishery as an indication of when the whales might come back, no, that's not really, as far as I'm seeing in my own little non-scientific study, it's really the whales who know before everyone that's doing the test fishery where they are. So I found it interesting that after the whales showed up, we then saw a little spike in the Chinook salmon. And yeah, seems like they know better than we know when where and when the Chinook salmon are. I want to get back to that awesome pass by at Limekiln Park. there were a few passbys actually over the few days that I was up there. And some days there were three passbys of whales. Some of them took a lot longer than others. You know, there were certain passbys where there was a strong ebb tide and the whales were swimming against that very slowly. So it looked like they were barely making any progress. So when Bob and I are out taking data, you know, we're sitting out there waiting for the whales to come all the way into the study area and depart the study area. One of the things that he studies that you've also seen in Monica Whelan's work, we talked about that last time on the show, about spread out time. And what happens is you count, you sort of track when each whale crosses the middle center line of the study area. And then you divide that by the number of whales and you get an idea of how spread out they were. Well, on one particular pass by, whales were very tightly in formation, meaning that they were very close together instead of being very spread out, which is kind of exciting to watch because it's just unbelievable how many whales there are. And you're just seeing dorsal fins and blows super close to each other, like they're literally touching. And it's beautiful to see. And it was that pass by that I thought that I had heard some surface vocals from the killer whales. And luckily, as I mentioned, someone was able to get a video of that. Her name is Tracy Walter. And this video has kind of gone a little bit viral. It's picked up by Northwest Cable News and it's all over Facebook and it's posted on my blog as well. So check it out. But there was a little clip in there that I have saved for you guys where, like I said, I thought I heard something and it almost sounded like a weed whacker from far away. And, you know, it's not that high pitch like that you'd think like a dolphin would make or a killer whale would make. And I was like, my gosh, what is that? And I'm looking around and looking at Bob, but he's videotaping and not really, you know, didn't seem like he didn't really notice, but other people noticed. And I didn't know. So I went home, I posted it on Facebook. And sure enough, my good friend, killer whale expert, David Bain said, yeah, that's whale babble that you heard. And so I will play the clip for you guys. It starts a few seconds in. And like I said, it sounds to me like it's a weed whacker from far away. Isn't that cool? I just think that's the coolest thing. Let's listen to it one more time. Awesome. So check out the rest of the video. It's a few minutes long and you can see that just the tight formation of killer whales passing by, lots and lots of tail slaps. Thank you again, Tracy Walter, for sharing that video. I encourage, you know, anyone lives in this area, if you are really around the world, people from around the world come to the Limekiln Lighthouse to watch whales. It's absolutely incredible. I will be there Mondays and Tuesdays almost every week. So stop in and chat and say hi. And I have some other important news to share with you all. The Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife and Puget Sound Corps are conducting forage fish surveys in South Puget Sound. They're just starting to do this work and it's really, really exciting because it's so important to document this habitat for forage fish, which hasn't been done before, especially in the South Sound. And you know, those forage fish are the base of the food web for killer whales. They hatch from small eggs on beaches, and they are basically food for salmon that feed killer whales. So it's really cool work that's going on. And I posted a link to the news release that Sound Action put out on my Facebook page. On Thursday the 5th, there was a discussion between Naomi Rose, Susan Davis, who are more critical of captive orca display industry, and a SeaWorld vet, Todd Robeck, and a SeaWorld trainer, Christy Burtis. And that took place in San Diego. I watched it live and it was interesting to see. If you're someone that's interested in captivity issues, This is a must watch. This is really the only time that I know of in recent history that people from SeaWorld have had a public discussion with people who are against SeaWorld and having killer whales in captivity. And it brought up a lot of issues about how long whales are living in the wild compared to in captivity. And both sides are both working to publish papers in scientific journals at the exact same time. And so I'm curious to see how the peer review process goes and to see which papers get accepted and how the scientific community really reacts to this. So there's a link. You can watch it again on Ustream on my Facebook page. Just go to Facebook and type in their Whale Scout and you can see it there. Also, in Bothell, local news, there is a festival called Sustain-a-Mania. And it's on Saturday, June 7th, between 9:30 and 2. It's kind of near Thrasher's Corner by Fred Meyer, if you're local, at the Public Works Operations Center. And believe it or not, I've never gone to this event, but I'm definitely going to be there tomorrow. I'm definitely going to check it out. And who knows, maybe next year Whale Scout will have a booth there. So if you're in Bothell, check that out. The last really cool piece of news that I want to share with you guys is that the Whale Scout podcast is now available on iTunes. And this is really cool because if you have like an iPhone, you can just scroll over to your purple podcast app or your iTunes and search for Whale Scout. And you can now subscribe to the podcast and listen to the shows anywhere you go at any time. And you can, in your settings, have any new podcasts that are put up on the whalescout.org website download right to your phone. So it's a really cool development we've been working on for a while, and just trying to get the word out to all of you and make it really convenient for you guys to listen to these podcasts. Also coming up, there are two new books coming out about killer whales. Well, killer whales and other whales, I should say. The first is coming out on June 24th by Sandra Pollard, and it is called Puget Sound Whales for Sale, The Fight to End Orca Hunting. And this book is all about the capture era in Puget Sound and about exactly what happened and when, and gives a lot of the details of killer whales being captured and taken to some of the first aquariums and like SeaWorld that held killer whales. So you can go online to whalescout.org and use our link and buy it from Amazon. Another book, which I'm really excited about, is called War of the Whales, A True Story by Josh Horitz, and it is coming out on July 1st. I was lucky enough to score a advanced copy of this book. Ken Balcom, who lives on San Juan Island, who runs the Center for Whale Research and was really the first person that began studying southern resident killer whales back in the 70s, a lot of people might not know that he also did a lot of work with beaked whales in the Bahamas. And this book really is a story of not only his work in the Bahamas with beaked whales and the interactions between Navy sonar, but it really does sort of chronologize his life and his life working with whales. So hopefully I will be able to have him on the show in the next week or so. So I encourage all of you to go online to Amazon and you can pre-order it. And then this is actually really cool if you've never done it. You can pre-order the book, and then on July 1st, the day that comes out, it'll be on your front doorstep. So you don't even have to wait for shipping. So go to whalescout.org and you can pre-order your copy right there. And I want to thank all of you for listening today. We will be back with another Whale Scout podcast very soon. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to the Whale Scout podcast. Your voluntary donation goes toward the recovery of whale species and enhanced whale watching opportunities in the Pacific Northwest. Please visit www.whalescout.org for more information.